with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Some Sadducees, those who deny that there is a resurrection, came forward and put this question to Jesus, saying, "Teacher, Moses wrote for us, if someone's brother dies, leaving a wife but no child, his brother must take the wife and raise up descendants for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first married a woman but died childless. Then the second and the third married her, and likewise all the seven died childless. Finally, the woman also died. Now at the resurrection, whose wife will that woman be? For all seven had been married to her." Jesus said to them, "The children of this age marry and remarry, but those who are deemed worthy to attain to the coming age and to the resurrection of the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. They can no longer die, for they are like angels, and they are the children of God because they are the ones who will rise. That the dead will rise, even Moses made known in the passage about the bush when he called out, 'Lord, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, and he is not God of the dead, but of the living, for to him all are alive.'" The Gospel of the Lord. We read in the Gospels and the Old Testament again and again things like this: "This is a wicked and depraved generation." You are. I'm part of it too, so don't worry. I include myself in that. But if you need proof of that, that we are a wicked and depraved generation, let me just say, election cycle 2016. If that's not proof, I'll see you afterwards. We'll talk about it. But to look at what's going on in the world, the evil, the violence, that doesn't happen by accident. It happens because we human beings let it happen. We cause it. Now, there are two things that I'm praying for on Tuesday, one of which will happen. The other one, I hope, happens. The one thing that will happen is that we'll have an end to this election cycle. It will be over. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. The second thing that I'm hoping for it now, too, and you should be praying for it, because the church tells us we should be praying like this: "Come, Lord Jesus. Come now." We hope that Jesus will say, "I'm coming down. They're putting an end to this. All this evil." We're supposed to be praying for that. And in Advent, that's the whole purpose of Advent, is to remind us it's all about Jesus. And we literally pray, "Come, Lord Jesus, do not delay. Now, come now." Now, if we're thinking in our heads, "Well, wait, Jesus, till I go on my cruise or go down to Disneyland," we don't get it. We don't get it. But it's all about Jesus, and about Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. It's not about the President of the United States. Not about me. It's not about you. It's about God. So we're supposed to be praying fervently, "Come, Lord, now. Now, don't delay, please. Deliver everyone from this evil and violence." Now, this is a good segue into what the scriptures tell us today about one of the things that's going to happen when Jesus comes. And the word is resurrection. Resurrection. I know how well we know the church's teaching on resurrection, but we believe that when Jesus comes, brings an end to human history, there will be a final judgment. Of course, people already know where they're going, either to heaven or hell. But our mortal bodies will be raised up and glorified for those who are in heaven, and they will share in the glory of God on a new earth. For those who have gone to hell or are condemned to hell, their bodies too will be resurrected, but they will suffer horrible torments. And not everybody's going to heaven. Jesus says that. You know, it's not me. I'm not making this judgment. What does Jesus say? He says there's a narrow way that leads to heaven, and then there's the wide gate that leads to hell. And many, he says it, many people are going through the wide gate. So he's very clear. He's saying there will be a judgment. And you hear this at, or I hear it at least, at funerals all the time. Oh, well, so-and-so is in heaven playing cards with his brother or whatever. We don't know that. We do not know who goes to heaven or who goes to hell. We do know that when we die, there is an immediate judgment. Immediate. Once we die, we can no longer do good, do evil. We cannot ask for forgiveness. It's over, and we're going to be judged on that. And God's either going to do thumbs up or thumbs down. So we don't know when people die if they go to heaven or hell. We're called to pray for them, to hope. That if they're not in heaven, they're at least in purgatory and are in need of our prayers. That's what the month of November is devoted to, praying for the holy souls in purgatory. They're going to make it to heaven eventually, but we need to help them with our prayers. But then there are the other ones who are in hell, and there's sadly nothing we can do for them because they have made their choices. So we have to take seriously what the church says, that there is a judgment. And incidentally, too, you hear this all the time, that, oh, so-and-so's died, there's another angel in heaven. Did you ever hear that? No! Human beings do not become angels. Angels are angels. They are a separate species created by God to serve God and to serve us. Human beings are human beings. Angels do not get resurrected. They never had bodies. They never will. Human beings do have bodies. And we will have them through all eternity. So we're talking serious business here. And we're called, especially during the month of November, but every day, that our focus should be on Jesus Christ. So what the church teaches us is, as I say, when we die, there is an immediate judgment. It's either thumbs up or thumbs down. And it's really simply God saying, well, this was the choice you made during your life. You have chosen hell. You can have it. God doesn't do that with joy, but with great sorrow. But we choose. We choose through our actions, through our words, through our thoughts, what we want. If we want to be faithful to Christ or faithful to a false God. And then at the end of time, when Jesus comes, there will be the final judgment. Those who are still living will be judged. And then the bodies will be raised. The good will have their bodies raised and glorified, and they will participate in heaven, which will include a new earth. And those who are in hell will have their bodies raised, and they will participate in horror, to put it bluntly, horror, the separation from God, which is not what we really want, but sometimes we choose. So, as we think about November, the Feast of the Holy Souls, we have in today's readings, as we come to the end of the church year, reminders of what it's all about. That first reading from Maccabees. These brothers are not afraid of death. They're not going to compromise their beliefs. Do we do that? They're not going to compromise their beliefs, even though they're going to be killed, slaughtered, because they know it's all about God, and God will raise their mortal bodies. They believe in the resurrection. This is Old Testament stuff. And then in the gospel, we have the Sadducees, who are a group of Jews who did not believe in resurrection. And Jesus says, oh, yes, there is a resurrection. There is a resurrection, and our mortal bodies will be raised. For those who are in heaven, they will be glorified. For those who are in hell, they will participate in the punishment of hell. So this is serious stuff. And if you think I'm making it up, read the Catechism of the Catholic Church. It's all in there. And so we as Christians, if we know this information, it's a gift to us from God so that we can keep asking ourselves each day, am I focusing on God? Or have I strayed from the path? Am I obeying the commandments of God? Am I loving God and God alone completely? Am I loving my neighbor as myself? Which means, if I want good things in my life, am I looking out for my neighbor? Am I going to my neighbor and saying, you know, God loves you. He created you in his image and likeness. He wants you to be with him for all eternity. Let me talk to you about that. Let me walk with you hand in hand. Because what God wants for us is spectacular. Spectacular. It's beyond what we can possibly imagine in this life. And that's what we so-called Christians are called to remember each and every day. That it's not about my stuff. It's not about what I can do. It's not about my money. It's about serving the Lord, doing what Jesus wants me to do, and extending the kingdom of God, especially to those who have not heard the gospel preached to them. Now, someone put it this way. He said, the church is the only institution that exists to serve non-members. Did you ever hear that? The church is the only institution that was created to serve non-members, which means we who are members are here to serve those who don't yet know Jesus Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's our mission. And that's what God is going to use as a criterion when we are judged. He's going to say, did you just go to church on Sunday? And that was it? Another wonderful phrase, I said that to someone before, I'm not sure who said it, but going to church on Sunday does not make you a Christian any more than standing in your garage makes you a car. So our goal as Christians is to be Christian not only during the hour of Mass, but every single second of the day, every week, every month, every year, to take this good news. And it is good news. It is. You know, you think, geez, I'm afraid of hell. Well, if we're afraid of hell, what do we need to do? God says, come to me, ask for forgiveness, be absolved. I'll take care of it for you. So there's no good reason to be afraid or nervous or upset by this, but rather to say, Lord, I want the goal you have in mind for me. And therefore, I as an individual with all my brothers and sisters are going to work at that goal, achieving our heart's desire, which is to be with God for all eternity and to celebrate eternal life in our resurrected, glorified bodies. So resurrection is front and center in our faith, in our Catholic life. Jesus is already resurrected. We know that. He appeared to the apostles. He appeared out of nowhere, yet they could touch his body, yet he could eat. That gives us an indication of what our resurrected bodies are going to be able to do. And isn't that wonderful? I can eat all the chocolate I want, and I'm not going to suffer from it. But think of that. Taste and touch and sight will be part of our heavenly engagement with God. Because that's our life now. We get joy from seeing children grow up and do wonderful things. Well, God wants that for us for all eternity. We're not just going to be disembodied spirits floating around or with halos and harps on clouds. So God has wonderful, wonderful stuff in store for us if we want it, if we choose it, if we are faithful. So that when Jesus comes, whether it's at the moment of our death or at the end of time, which again, pray for that. Pray for that. We need that. We won't be afraid. In fact, if we heard the trumpets right now, who would run out with me and say, Lord, welcome? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? If we knew that the Lord was coming, we heard the trumpets and the cloud of glory shining, to be out there and saying, Lord, yeah, you delayed, but I'm so glad you're here right now. But that's the life of the committed and convicted Christian, and it's offered to all of us. But again, as always, it's our choice. Sadly, we often choose to be that perverted and corrupt generation as opposed to the shining, bright children of God who are called to go into the world and show through our faces, through our actions, through our words, that God is God. Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, and that's what it's all about. So during November, as we pray for the poor souls in purgatory, that we can give them a boost with our prayers to heaven. And as we remember our own destiny, we're going to die, we're going to be judged, and how do we want to be judged? We need to pray for one another, that we will be strong in our faith, but also that we will go out those doors and let other people know that good news, especially those who don't know about it, the non-members who we want to be members. We want them to be children of God. We want them to be baptized. That's what God wants. Therefore, that is our call. And it's a glorious call. First time you make a conversion, through the power of God, of course, you're going to find out what a wonderful gift that is, because you will then go deeper into your own faith and you will become more on fire with your faith, so that it becomes not harder but easier to follow the Lord no matter what's going on. So the election's over on Tuesday, but the kingdom of God continues. It will always continue. It is eternal. That's our home. We are citizens of heaven, but are we acting like citizens of heaven? Are we looking forward to the end of the world, to Christ's coming, to the resurrection of the body? And are we sharing that joy, that good news? That's our call as Christians, not to keep it in here, but to take it out into the world and say, there is an answer to everything. There is salvation, and it's in Jesus Christ, the Lord, the Savior, the way, the truth, and the life.